T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Late night, right here, Sports Radio, WEI, final hour here. We'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning for the first time all program long. There is time and room for you guys on the phone lines at 617-779-7937. One of these shows here tonight where the Red Sox absolutely dominated the conversation. And that was good to hear. It was good to see, and it was good to be a part of, because after that tough start, I expected Red Sox fans to be angry this season, but they were more apathetic than anything else. And tonight really brought out some of that vitriol and brought back some of that old school Red Sox feel where, look, the team had a masterful performance from their ace, and it went to waste. And it went to waste because, I don't know, Cora may have made a mistake by not bringing Chris Sale back out for the eighth. You could blame the manager. You could certainly blame the general manager for not shoring up the closer position. You got Kimbrel out there talking to multiple teams, cutting his demands literally in half. Meanwhile, the Red Sox bullpen is out there blowing the best start of the season by their ace. And that really worked up Red Sox fans tonight. Really enjoyed talking about that with you guys here tonight at 617-779-7937. What really surprised me is that in this city, it's without fail every single time. The negative is always such a much larger talker than the positive. You got the Bruins actually out there on the road winning what I thought was a hard-fought battle in Carolina today. For fans that thought that this thing was going to be a cakewalk when the series shifted to Carolina, I talked about it with Bridget last night. I thought absolutely you were going to get the best that Carolina had to offer, and that's what you got.
That was Carolina's first loss in the postseason at home. They were 5-0 prior to this.
And now the Bruins, they're just 5 wins away from winning a Stanley Cup. So I got to ask you this, Joe. You and I were talking about this doing our show prep, and the game was on. It was the third. The Bruins were up 2-1, and they were sort of staving off this continued frenetic attempts from Carolina to tie this game. And it came down to Tuukka. Multiple times, it came down to Tuukka being the best player on the ice. And this is exactly what fans have been looking for from Tuukka. We've seen the flashes. We've seen consistent play for 10-day stretches, 2-week stretches, 3-week stretches. We've never seen, in my opinion, Tuukka stand on his head for the entirety of a postseason run. And that's exactly what we've seen thus far with Tuukka. There were a couple of early hiccups in the early round here, but he got it together. And right now, Tuukka Rask is the difference between the Bruins being in the hunt and the Bruins, in my opinion, right now being the favorite to win a Stanley Cup. The question really becomes is this sustainable? Can Tuukka do this for the long term? You know, and that's the question that I have for Bruins fans, because I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to tell you that I've watched this team as intimately as I've watched the Celtics over the years. I pay attention. I read about it. I watch when I can. But I'm not sure, because the knock on Tuukka has always been what? His inability to perform consistently. So, Joe, you tell me, is Tuukka somebody that can continue to stand on his head like this?
Absolutely. I mean, if you want an idea of what Tuukka Rask did tonight, go to ESPN and look at the score chart, all right? The score chart is blatantly left-sided heavy with shots. It doesn't matter if they miss or hit. You can see it. The dots are all over the place, and I think the biggest difference tonight is obviously Tuukka Rask. You have a 2-1 victory. The guy played out of his mind, and, you know, goes back to the one thing you were talking to me before. What if Tuukka has that bad game? Does he fall off the train, or is he able to swallow it and get right back to the next one?
Well, you tell me then. I mean, in your opinion, let's say hypothetically in game 4, Tuukka gives up 4 goals. Is that a one-off, or is that a sign of things to come? Because historically speaking, in years past, when he's had that one game, his mentality has gone in the other direction. When he's flying high, he is flying high. When he's dominant, he's as dominant as anybody. But when he gets knocked down a peg, a lot of times that confidence plays such a huge role in his performance on the ice. So how uncomfortable would you be in a potential I don't know, game six scenario. If he gives up in game four, he gives up four goals. Let's say he gives up three more in game five. You see what I'm saying? Is he the type of guy where it can domino and get out of control, spiral out of control very quickly?
Yes and no. And when you go back to historically speaking, when goalies get hot in the playoffs, they don't tend to drop off all of a sudden. And I think with Tuukka is, and we talked about this before in the last couple of weeks, they made sure that they looked at the stats and they proved that if he get more rest prior to the postseason, he's ready to go, and his stats were astronomically better than what they were before. So to answer your question, I don't think he will fall back. I think he's in line, and this is the only goalie I have faith left in the playoffs that can bring you a cup.
So why did ESPN put that metric out there going into the postseason where they ranked all 16 goalies in the postseason, and whatever metrics they used to come up with this determination, he was ranked dead last, Joe. Dead last. How do they come up with that, and then this guy's standing on his head, literally carrying the Bruins into the Stanley Cup Finals?
Prior postseason stats, not as amazing as you would think. He didn't have an incredible season. He had a good season, but, you know, there was talk beforehand. Was Halak going to be the savior? Were they going to bring Halak in if Tuukka ended up, you know, Tuukka in his pants? But when I look at it and the Bruins and how hot he is, man, he's making saves with two, three bodies in front of him, deflections left and right. Some people can say it's luck, but, I mean, when it comes down to it, as long as that puck doesn't cross the net, nothing's luck.
So here's a sort of a bigger picture type of question, Joe, I've got about the Bruins in general, right? So I feel like in the regular season, they're sort of second fiddle around here. They always have been, always will be. Their fans are the most dedicated fans, the hardest fans absolutely in the city. But for whatever reason, they play second fiddle on the radio, play second fiddle on TV, and then you get postseason performances like this, and everybody, all the pink hats, myself included, we hop on board that bandwagon. I am exactly the type of fan that I hate when it comes to the Celtics. You know, I despise those Celtics fans that hop on for a long postseason run. Where were you during the struggling regular season is what I ask, but I am guilty of it when it comes to the Bruins, and I do it year in and year out. And I know Tuukka was on the team in 2011. He was splitting time for the most part in the regular season with Tim Thomas, if memory serves me correctly. But then in the postseason, Tim Thomas got hot, and they rode him all the way to winning the Stanley Cup. But if the Bruins actually fulfill Dale Arnold's prediction here, and they win another Stanley Cup, this will be Tuukka's second Stanley Cup in Boston since 2011. And despite the fact that the Bruins play second fiddle, when you think about players that have had a huge impact in the last 20, 25 years while the winning's been going on here, I feel like the Patriots, they're a level above everybody else with the six championships that they've won. But you got guys like Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett that won one championship and nearly won a second, but they didn't. And you know, does there come a point where in the public opinion, the court of public opinion, guys like Tuukka Rask, Zdeno Chara, did they ever have an opportunity if they win a second championship here? They have the opportunity, in your opinion, to leapfrog guys like Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett in the opinions of Boston sports fans?
Sadly, I think not, because the problem with the NHL is, and people say it all the time, is they don't market their stars enough. And I'm talking like top-end stars, Connor McDavid, Alex Ovechkin. Yeah, I get everyone knows Alex Ovechkin, but there are thousands of stars that they just don't market enough. They don't use them enough. And I think the thing is with the bandwagon is, yeah, 15% of the Boston Bruins fans come playoff are bandwagon fans. But at the end of the day, you have those diehards. The place is always fired up. And it's one of those things with the Bruins, you know, it doesn't matter. The fans will always be there.
But what you're saying essentially is in a town, in a city where we like to claim that the only thing that matters here is championships. Championships matter. We don't care about our team getting to the conference finals. We don't care about our team getting to the finals. If you don't win a championship, don't talk to me. That's been the mentality here. Danny Ainge, for a team that I've covered so intimately, when Ainge got here in 2003, the 2002 Celtics went to the conference finals for the first time in forever. The Garden was banged out. It was electric. People were into it, and it was awesome. The Celtics made trade deadline moves to go get veteran players like Tony Delk and Rodney Rogers to solidify their team and their young stars in Paul Pierce and Antoine Walker. Right, they get to the conference finals, people are absolutely falling in love with this team, and they think that they're only a player or two away. Danny comes in, he says, no, I don't care. Yeah, this is about winning championships, this team's got a ceiling, I don't care, you're a Final Four team, and he breaks up the team. The team goes back in the tank, to build it back up because it's all about championships. A couple of years ago, the Celtics team that was led by Al Horford and Isaiah Thomas, they make the conference finals. All right, they're up against Cleveland. They get their asses handed to them. They lose that in five games. 15 active players on a roster. Danny Ainge says, you know what? We're not about going to the conference finals. He blows it up. 11 out of the 15 players are blown out of town. They return four players from a conference finals team. That is unheard of in professional sports. You're a Final Four team, and 11 guys are gone because it's not good enough. So how do you tell me, on one hand, where Boston's all about championships and nothing else, it's not pleasurable, it's not enjoyable if it's not a championship, yet on the other hand, you're trying to tell me that these Bruins and the handful of Bruins that were here in 2011, if and when they win their second cup right now, they've got no shot to leapfrog Celtics that only won one championship. I'm the biggest Celtics homer there is, but there's something to be said for that second championship that these guys will have that Paul Pierce has got no shot of ever having.
And this is why it's good for the Bruins this year. And I'm sorry to say, but it is a great thing that the Celtics are out, because the more lovable team this year between the Bruins and Celtics was the Boston Bruins. I mean, you look at the Bruins, they're a typical physical, fundamental team. They do what they have to do. Everyone plays their part. Their top scorers right now are their third and fourth lines. Most teams don't have any scorers on their third and fourth lines.
So the last one for me is more, again, a general question, but there was a conversation taking place in the city on Friday as the Bruins continued to sort of look like the team that we all thought that they could be. And they looked like a team that was clearly head and shoulders better than Carolina. Everybody started talking about Bruce Cassidy and what he's been able to do since taking over the reins here with the Bruins. And because we are a hot-button town and we're an emotional town, you know, just going into the Celtics season back in October, so what, 6 months ago, 7 months ago, Brad Stevens was the toast of the town, literally being compared to the genius of Bill Belichick. You couldn't compare their resumes, but when Brad Stevens showed up late last summer at Patriots training camp, and there were those great pictures of Brad and Bill Belichick in the Herald and in the Globe with their arms folded, two geniuses talking to one another. You know, the hierarchy of coaches in this town was Belichick, Stevens, and then you had Cora Wynn. So then it became Belichick, Cora, Stevens, and now there's talk that Brad Stevens has gone from a guy that was rivaling the brilliance of Bill Belichick for dominance as far as coaches in this town go. Number one, he was going to be the number one when Belichick walked away from coaching, which is realistically only a couple of years away. That's what he was positioned to be. And now you could make the argument that he slipped all the way down to number four as far as importance here when it comes to our head coaches here in this town. What has Bruce Cassidy done to get this team to buy in? Because when I look at this team and I compare it to the Bruins teams I watched a couple of years ago, there's a lot of the same players are there, but they're playing a completely different brand of hockey.
Cassidy's a player's coach. Claude kind of lost it a little bit towards the end. And nothing against Claude. He's an amazing coach. But he didn't have that connection with the young youth coming up. And, you know, Marchand, Bergie. Marchand's more in his prime, I think, than Bergie. Bergie's outplaying him right now. But, I mean, when you look at it and you don't have that player's coach that does what he needs to do and pushes guys. He's the only guy I've ever heard of taking a star like Pastrnak and throwing him down the third line because he's playing awful.
But are they playing harder for Bruce Cassidy than they would have for anybody else?
I think so. I think it's because they believe in Bruce Cassidy's mentality. He does kind of like the core mindset where he switches up the lines, he makes changes, he keeps you guessing on what he's going
to
do.
So if the Bruins had held on to Claude or replaced him with somebody else, the question becomes, with the same talent on the roster, are the Bruins in the position that they're in right now?
No.
All right. There it is. There's your Bruins segment. How'd I do?
Not too bad.
Not too bad,
a little better than Drellick.
I do the best I can. But if Drellick is the bar, my God, I've still got a long way to go. It is Sports Radio, WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Throw some Bruins on the table as well. Want to get back into the Terry Rozier comments that he made with Stephen A. and multiple shows today. He was up and down. If you watch ESPN, you saw Rozier. If you watched ESPN2, you saw Rozier. If you tuned in to ESPN Radio, you heard Rozier. He made the rounds in Connecticut today, and the longer that he talked, the more he put his foot in his mouth. We'll explore more of those comments when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEI. It is late night right here on Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37 9375. Me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And, you know, today, something good happened if you're a Celtics fan. There's been a lot of celebration in Los Angeles tonight because the Lakers, well, they moved up from the likelihood of having the number 11 overall pick. They jumped all the way up to 4. And while on the surface that's a very good thing, people that pay attention to the salary cap like I do and the ramifications of the Lakers' ability to potentially go out there, let's say they go with their plan of putting great players around LeBron James. We talked a lot last night about the chance that maybe they'll look to shop LeBron. And I still very much think that that's on the table, because when you put the pieces together, put the pieces of the puzzle together, going all the way back to when I had Peter Vesey on here right around the All-Star break and all hell was breaking loose with LeBron, with Kyrie Irving, with Rich Paul, with Anthony Davis, in the middle of all that drama. What did Peter Vesey say? He said, without a doubt, there was buyer's remorse in Los Angeles. Magic Johnson and Jeannie Buss wished that they had not signed LeBron James because he was essentially poisoning the young players there. And there was suddenly a divide in that upper management, where some people in upper management wanted to roll with the young guys like Josh Hart, like Ingram, like Lonzo Ball, and take that team and really grow it from within for the long term. But then there was the other part of the population that essentially wanted to take all those young guys and flip them for a veteran player to pair with LeBron James and hope that LeBron had enough left in the tank to win you a championship or two. And now they have a fundamental problem in Los Angeles, because you look at this Lakers team and you think to yourself, okay, LeBron, if he's healthy, he still numbers-wise was just as good as he's always been last year. LeBron didn't take a step back numbers-wise. The eye test tells you that he took a step back. He still had plenty of LeBron moments. Within games, he had plenty of time within games where he was just as dominant as always. But his ability to dominate for the entire time that he was on the floor, that started to slip a little bit. And once upon a time, not all that long ago, I was always of the opinion that you could take LeBron James, dump him in the middle of a lottery team, and he could elevate that team single-handedly to 50 wins and a chance to go to the conference finals. I said ad nauseum last year, you dump him on the Phoenix Suns with their current roster. The Phoenix Suns are elevated from a lottery team to a team that competes at the top of the Western Conference. That's how dominant he has been, single-handedly dragging the Cleveland Cavaliers to the finals year after year after year. So while LeBron still is capable of putting up identical numbers, those numbers aren't nearly as efficient. His efficiency rating has gone way down, and his ability to elevate the play of his teammates has also taken a big hit here. So there's going to be talk about shopping LeBron. But if LeBron gets his way, because he chose Los Angeles for a reason, and it wasn't just basketball, basketball had little to do with LeBron's ultimate decision to go to L.A. It had a lot more to do with basketball and building his post-playing career brand. Now, the rumor is that LeBron wants to stick around and play until his son is in the league. He wants to play at least one, maybe 2 years, where Bronny Jr. is in the NBA. Now, right now, he's an outstanding young high school player. We'll see if he ever gets to the point where he's a true NBA prospect. But right now, if you read the magazines, it looks like, and he's going into high school, but it looks like he is amongst the top 25 when it comes to the way they're grading out players his age. So there's still a chance, and that's what LeBron is trying to do. He's trying to hold on so he can play against Bronny Jr. But as far as off-the-court stuff, L.A. was perfect for him. Because when you look at his media empire and how it has grown in the short amount of time that he's been in Los Angeles, he's got sitcoms. He's got that show, The Barbershop, on HBO. He's an executive producer of a handful of movies that are coming out. He has his hands in everything right now. Plus, the whole school thing that he did in Cleveland, bravo for that. So he's got his hands in a lot of things that aren't basketball related, and his media empire is at the centerpiece of that. So if LeBron has his way and he's able to still have enough influence to throw around, he's going to do everything in his power not to get traded away from the Lakers. Here's the thing. The Lakers were smart when it came to their signing of LeBron James. They were brilliant. LeBron wanted a no-trade clause. Go back and read the articles that were printed when he was sort of leading up to signing with the Lakers. Remember, people were surprised at the time that LeBron was willing to sign a long-term deal. Historically speaking, over the previous few deals that he signed, he was doing those one-on-one deals where you play for a year, but you hold your team hostage because you have an out going into year two. That means you've got all the leverage and you can sort of command your team around, hey, if you want me to stick around, you're going to go get my coach. You're going to get my player. You're going to let me be the major decision maker here. That's not what's happening in LA right now. They brought in Tyronn Lue as their potential coach, negotiated with him, and they cut off negotiations. To me, that tells you everything you need to know. The Lakers were never going to sign Tyronn Lue as a head coach. They did it to make it look like that for LeBron's sake. They did it as a visual game for LeBron James. That's all it was. Because you cannot go from potentially signing Tyronn Lue as your head coach to Frank Vogel. There is somebody else in the middle there. Those two guys could not be further apart when it comes to their styles, when it comes to their philosophies, and when it comes to what they're good at. Frank Vogel is awesome, like Brad Stevens, when it comes to elevating and maximizing the talent of young players. He is a no BS disciplinarian. That is not the type of environment that LeBron James wants, and that couldn't be any different. It couldn't be any further apart from the environment that Tyronn Lue provides. A player's coach, a guy that lets his players sort of dictate the atmosphere in the locker room, guy that lets LeBron James be LeBron James. So that's just another indication that maybe they're going to try to trade LeBron. But if LeBron gets his way and the Lakers want to trade for another great player, or potentially, and here's where it comes into play, if the Lakers want to go out there and try to lure Kyrie Irving to Los Angeles, or if they want to try to lure Kawhi Leonard, whatever he's done, in Toronto to Los Angeles, which, by the way, that was the rumor for years, that Kawhi Leonard was doing everything in his power to force his way to L.A. and that Toronto was just a stepping stone. The fact that they moved from 11 to 4 in the draft lottery may have just prevented them from having the ability to do that, because as of right now, the ability for them to sign one max level player, the math was tight to begin with. They had to get very creative, but they could do it if they had to. There is a $3 million difference when it comes to guaranteed salary and cap space from the number 11 pick to the number 4 pick. And depending on exactly where the cap lands, the Lakers, because they advanced in the lottery and got the number 4 pick as opposed to the number 11, that may have just cost them their ability to sign a max-level free agent. Way to go, L.A. Big win tonight. It is Sports Radio WEI. When we come back, we'll wrap this thing up right here on Sports Radio WEI.
Madman. You're a madman.
Air and water. But you'll find plenty of both down there.
No man. Persian or Greek, no man threatens a messenger.
Madness.
This is Sparta!
Final segment here, late night sports radio at WEI. And, you know, there was something I wanted to get to tonight, but I didn't have the opportunity to throw it out there. So, Joe, I'm going to engage you here really quickly because I want to see if I've got something here or if it's something I should just sort of let die on the vine and forget that I ever came up with this idea. I'm not an idea guy, by the way. I'm not somebody that wants to invent things and sort of get rich quick by coming up with a product.
That's why you got me here, though.
But I came up with something today, and I think I might be onto something. And if you guys like this idea, don't steal it. Don't steal it. I'll be very angry if one of the listeners comes out with this thing next year, because I'm working on it right now. It's patent pending, okay? Pending my paperwork. But here's the thing, Joe. You're a guy that's in relatively good shape. So are you into, you know, protein shakes and meal replacement shakes and things like that?
Yeah. I mean, like protein, I may take pre-workout here and there. Other than that, I'm not on Mutt's creatine, though.
So Mutt carries around creatine, a big, you know, bucket of creatine. I do this Isagenix meal replacement thing, and I've done it on and off for years. Shakeology is huge. Protein shakes are huge. And, you know, when you make them at home, you can make them taste really good. So you take a vanilla shake and you can add some fruit to it. You can add a scoop of peanut butter to it. You can make it go from disgusting to enjoyable. Add a few ice cubes to it. Now you got something that's frosty goodness. It's really good. But that's breakfast. And generally you have two of these shakes a day. And one for breakfast, and it tastes good at home. The one you have at lunch generally sucks because you're just mixing the powder with 8 ounces of water and using one of those shaker cups at work because you got to do it. Or you're in the car, you're traveling on a plane. The one that you make on the go is terrible because, really, who's got access to a blender or a Nutribullet in that sort of environment? That's something you can do at home. Doing it at the office, doing it in your car, on a plane, on the road, on the go is hard. So the second shake of the day for me is not enjoyable. It's not pleasurable. I can't add fruit to it. Forget about adding peanut butter to it. I mix the two together, the 8 ounces of water and the shake mix, and I shake that damn shaker cup until my arm is literally hurting because the little balls show up at the top. It's never the same. It doesn't blend right, doesn't mix right without a NutriBullet or a blender. So I came up with this idea. Why don't we create like a personal micro blender? So it's a cup that doubles as a blender. So you have a cup like a shaker cup, right? And you have a removable top. And at the bottom, the cup narrows a little bit, and you have two spinning blades down there that are battery operated. So now what you do is you're on the go. Your cup is self-contained. You put in your powder. You put in your water. Throw a couple of ice cubes in there. Your handful of fruit. You turn the thing on. It blends in the same cup that you're going to drink it out of. It's easy to wash, easy to clean. And now suddenly while you're in the office, in the car, on the go, just because you don't have your NutriBullet or your big blender in front of you or your Fruit Ninja or any of those things in front of you, it doesn't mean that you can't make the shake that you really want to make. And for people that do the Shakeology and Isagenics, I feel like if they can enjoy both shakes of the day, not just the morning one, but now suddenly the afternoon one that you can have on the go, if it tastes better, you're more likely to stick with the program. So the likelihood of success goes up with this product. And I feel like it's not that difficult to come up with. Like a couple of AA batteries, some spinning blades. Am I asking for something that's way out of the ordinary here? Or do you think that this is something I can come up with, get a patent, get some guy to create a mock-up, and head on to Shark Tank at some point in the next 6 months?
I mean, I'll be honest. I want to say they already have that, but at the same time, here's where you're really going to get it. And this is where my mindset comes in. You need a car adapter for it.
Oh, even better.
Something to go within the car. You put it in, plug it in, and good to go. You're
even better. I want it easy. I want the cup to be self-contained.
I want 5% of the share.
You got it. I want one unit. You know, it's one piece. It's one. I don't want the only piece that could be a secondary piece is you got to have a good top on that thing so when it blends, it doesn't go everywhere.
Do you want to know what the worst part is about the protein that many people don't realize? And I keep telling my father this.
What's that?
It's not when you drink it. It's what you do afterwards because the problem is your body has to break down that protein. So in order for it to do that, you have to be moving around. So my father decides to drink his protein shake and then get in the car. And I'm like, you're about to go sit in 2 hours of traffic? It's not going to do a lot for you. You got to be able to move around a little bit. I know it's tough with certain jobs you work with,
sure,
a desk and everything, but you have to be able to move around after because your body breaks everything down.
And by the way, this whole idea of a personal blender that doubles as a cup, you think it exists. I looked on Amazon. I looked on eBay. I did my research.
If it's not on Amazon, you're good.
There's definitely smaller knockoff versions of a NutriBullet that they sell at like Walgreens for $20, right? Those things don't even break any ice. I want mine
to
have
something that's going to last you a couple years. Guaranteed.
I want the same quality of my NutriBullet, but I want it self-contained. I want that awesome motor that's at the bottom and its ability to crush ice. I want it all right there, but I want it miniaturized, and I want it self-contained in one unit. I want it something that's waterproof so you can wash it, you can drink out of it without danger, and I want something that I can use when I'm on a plane, when I'm in my car, when I'm on the go. Because damn it, if I can't put strawberries and blueberries in my shake is disgusting, and I don't have very little pleasure in my day. And one thing I enjoy is having a little bit of fruit in my shake.
Now, the last question I have for you, how many grams does your protein have in it?
I don't know.
Okay, well, make sure you look at that because a lot of people don't know this either. If your protein shake has above 30 grams, you're not getting half of that. Because what happens is your body can only process a certain amount of grams per sitting. So these guys who are taking these 50, 60 grams, they're crapping out half of it.
So it's useless. It's kind of like
basically useless because your body can't take in all that protein at once. It can't break it down. So what does it do is it push it out.
All I know is the damn directions say two scoops.
Yeah, two scoops. Yeah, okay. Scoops. You want to know why? Because if you do two scoops, you got to go back and buy more half the time.
Look at that. Marketing genius, Joe. So
I know. I got to get into something else, man. I don't know. My ideas, I got to pop in somewhere else.
So that's my idea. I'm going to see if I can make this thing happen. I'm going to get the patent pending. Don't steal my idea, people. I'm a hardworking guy. Don't take it from me. This was fun here tonight. I enjoyed myself. What a great song. I hope that guy in Florida is still listening. The guy that said Michael Jordan ruined basketball. This is for you.
How can you say that?
It's the greatest player ever played the game. And I dream that I move. And I dream that I groove. Like Mike. I wish that I could be like Mike. You know, this commercial came out prior to Michael's gambling addiction and potential connection between his gambling addiction and his father's death. And that's probably a good thing. I wanted to be like Mike before all that went down. And before his Wizards days as well. My name is Patrick Gilroy. I'm off tomorrow night. Be traveling for the real job back here again for more late night fun Thursday night. Until then, you guys want to stay tuned. my friends from SB Nation Radio. They come your way next. And in the morning, I want everybody to line up and celebrate the Mutt Man, Mike Monansky. He was right. Everybody laughed at him. He said the Knicks could not go 3-for-3. They couldn't get the first pick, couldn't get Kyrie Irving, couldn't get KD. Well, guess what? The Knicks, they are 0-for-1 with the number 3 pick in the draft. Well done, Mike Monansky. Let Mutt know that he's a winner. Bye-bye.
Sometimes I dream that he is me. Got to see that's how I dream to be.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.